Hey everyone, and welcome to Hero's Journey Physio Fitness. Our mission is guiding people to reclaim their health and become self-reliant. I'm your host, Dr. Cameron Hogue, and joining me is my co-host, Anibal Rios.
All right, we are going live in 3, 2, 1. Welcome guys to another banger episode of Hero's Journey. I love making Cam laugh right before we start. Get the vibes right.
I cannot be broken, man. I cannot be broken.
Get your mind, body, and spirit ready for this episode, fellas and cows.
Not gonna lie, I'm a little sleepy today. My son decided not to sleep last night, so I'm running on less than 4 hours, but it feels good. I made an extra strong coffee this morning using my little mocha pot. Apparently, it's like a lot of cups into one cup, so I'm feeling pretty good.
We are hyped up on caffeine.
I'm caffeinated, baby.
Look at my eyes. They're freaking big right now.
One thing we want to start off by saying is, obviously, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, do so. You'll always be updated when an episode comes out, which is every other Wednesday at this point. Subject to change in the future, we will see. But right now, indefinitely, every other Wednesday. And we get the stats, guys. We know what's going on. We have more podcast downloads a month than we have social media followers. So that either means one or two things. You don't have social media, or you're not following us. So if that's you, if you have social media and you're not following us, I want you to pause right now. Yes, right now. Pause. Go follow us on social media. You'll get more content than what we just have on. We do post some of these podcast clips and, you know, tell when the episodes come out and stuff, but we have other things as well. Tips, tricks.
Well, you don't tell them everything now.
You better go check it out. That's why you're a marketing PR guy, Anibal.
Do what I can, doc.
And then something we haven't talked about in a couple episodes is Legions Athletics. I'm just going to read from this because we really like their stuff. If you use our code, you'll get a discount on them. But basically, Legions is the number one brand of all natural sports supplements in the world. And there's a few good reasons. Number one, it uses 100% natural, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, no dyes. They don't use any proprietary blends. What you see is what you get. And they only use the clinically effective dose that's been proven to work. So if that sounds good to you, which it does to us, head on over to www.legionsathletics.com. If you use code HEROES, HEROES, you'll get 20% off your first purchase, and then you can receive double loyalty points after that, aka free stuff. I just recently got their stim-free pre-workout, basically a pre-workout that does not have caffeine in it. It still gives you a fantastic pump. You get really energized, but no caffeine. So if you like to work out later in the evening and you don't want to have a lot of caffeine in your system, check out.
You don't want to stay up to 2 in the morning?
Just off the walls.
He's like, I don't know why I have trouble sleeping. Let's review your situation. Oh, you took pre-workout at 8 p.m. to work out beforehand?
Didn't even use water. Thought daddy takes care of you.
Dry scoop that bad boy.
That's right.
But yeah, the best kind of rich is being protein rich.
Oh my gosh. Did you just come up with that?
Huh?
Did you just come up with that?
I don't know. I'm in the spirit. So.
All right, what are we getting into today, Anibal?
Today, guys. All right, let me back up a little bit. So when it comes to health and fitness, a lot of us think that it's just about like either lifting weights, running, this and that. But our beliefs, they play a role in the way we view the world. And that also impacts the way that you view health and fitness. I know it has for me. And the thing is, who you are now versus who you want to become, you're gonna have to create a new identity as a whole. Meaning the your habits, your rituals, the things you do for fun, all of that's gonna have to change to get to who you want to be. And it can be so overwhelming and we've talked about it, and we'll say it. I'll say it quickly. You're gonna stack these things over time. So you're here, and you're gonna over. So you're not gonna completely change everything at once. But one of the first things you do need to change is your mindset and your beliefs. Those, believe it or not, are huge. They're critical. And at times it might be sabotaging you, limiting you, and you don't even realize it until somebody points it out and says, like, hey, by the way, they're challenging your beliefs. They're not like in a negative way, because sometimes people don't like it. And you just like, they just bunker down on their beliefs and their thoughts on a certain topic. And they're like, no, I'm not going to listen to you. But in this case, you want to listen, be open-minded and say like, okay. So we're going to talk about some of those beliefs. They're not all of them. There's so many out there. It's just some common ones that we think most people may feel that way. So just listen and for a moment say, okay, is that me? Could it be me? And how is that impacting me?
Yeah, we think that, or we believe that where you are and where you want to be, whether that is weight loss, strength, reversing some health status, whatever that might be, where you want to be, the first step, that first pillar has to be mindset. You have to have the right mindset. And today we're going to talk about those limiting beliefs that fall under mindset. But so many people don't even start with that. They just jump right into, you know, a diet or hitting the gym and all that kind of stuff without even kind of peeling back the layers of the onion to ask why, what's holding me back? Why do I want to get there? How long have I believed, you know, all these different things that, yes, you might get short-term progress skipping this step, but you will not have long-term progress if you don't change your mind.
I love that part. I think you're absolutely right. There's people who can do it for like a year. They'll get the results. But like Cam saying, I was you. Where, man, I could lose 30, sometimes 40 pounds in like a month. And that's not healthy. But you said, I didn't have the right framework to say, why? Question myself a little bit and be able to do this long term. So that's kind of why we're doing this.
So, Hannibal, what is a limiting belief? We've talked about it a couple times already. What
I guess, limiting beliefs is when you limit your beliefs. I always hate it when people would define the word with.
And it's always like the first thing on a PowerPoint slide that they read directly from, and you're like, okay, I shouldn't have logged in for this call. This should have been an email.
Yeah. No, but so we all tell stories. Let me back up. We all have an inner dialogue. You may not realize it, but you do. The way you talk to yourself, the way you think. And sometimes it is not that healthy, the way you talk to yourself or the way you view the world.
Don't talk to me that way.
It's like you're fighting with yourself. We've mentioned that before. Sometimes like it's like those inner demons that they haunt us and they put you down. So when we say limiting beliefs, it's these stories that we have created, and we'll get into like what can cause some of these beliefs from like a young age or maybe as you get older. And they really, they're preventing you from even reaching your full potential or being able to sustain that or keep that long term without being on edge of everything crumbling below you. So most of them are subconscious too. So you don't even realize it. It's like, what do you mean? Like, doesn't everyone view the world this way? Don't we all think the same way? It's like, no, actually, I don't even view the world that way.
And a lot of times you run in similar circles of people who believe the same as you. That can be a great thing. And it can also be, as we're talking about, something that's holding you back. So if you maybe run with a group of people, maybe your family who's overweight, and a lot of your friends are overweight, and that's just what I know. That's just the way it is. Like, you haven't really questioned that reason. And
oh, wow. That's such a good point.
And I'm not saying that's the reason why everyone's overweight. I'm just saying that could be an example.
But it does. I know where we're going to get at that, but it does help confirm your limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You're just, what's it, the echo chamber? You're just constantly.
You're an echo chamber, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we won't get into too far into this just because, you know, we're not psychologists. We're not going to diagnose and say, this is what caused your limit. Because sometimes it's like, does it matter what caused it?
No.
I mean, sure, you can get to the bottom of it and it might help you a little bit. And say like, oh, okay, well, now I know why I am the way I am. Cool. But at the end of the day, is what are you actually going to do about it? It's what you can't control. You can't change the past. You can only change the future. So we do want to briefly mention, okay, what can cause limiting belief? Just to help create some awareness for yourself. And the first one is kind of like what Cam was saying, your family beliefs, your traditions, your morals, your values. They can all be great. But they can also may have potential, like for instance, like, oh, our families always struggle with the weight. It's just, it runs in the family. Or maybe they don't run.
Oh my God.
I saw that somewhere and I thought it was funny.
They're on zingers.
That's what I thought it was funny. I saw it somewhere and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true. It's like, it runs in the family. They don't run. Sorry if I offended anyone, but it's just funny. It's like, and it's just reconfirming. You're in that circle, you're in that group, and it's like, well, I can't do anything about it. It's my grandmother, my father. It's just inedible. I'm destined for that.
I think a big one with this one is also like eating habits. My mother-in-law is funny, and she'll talk about sometimes they would have some of my wife's friends over, like, you know, during back in middle school and high school, and they would serve like, you know, some fruit with dinner, and, you know, there'd be like fish and these other things. And some of our friends were like, I've never had fresh fruit before. Like I've never eaten, like really eaten fruit, like for dinner or for like this. And that's just what they knew. And they got exposed to something like, I've never seen this before. What's that red thing?
Tomato.
That's a strawberry. But yeah, what we're talking about, your family beliefs, even just your family habits, things that you pick up on and you just assume that's the way they are. And that can be a limiting belief.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other one, a lot of these are very similar, like education, you know, your teachers, your circles in the school that you run, and a lot of those things also very similar reasons. They shape the way you view and think.
Mm-hmm.
And then your experiences. This is like another big one. So they're all overlap. So You tried keto, or you tried this other diet and it didn't work, or you try this intense workout. Like, see, I told you, I just can't lose the weight, or I just can't gain muscle. I can't do X, Y, or Z. See, it's I knew it.
Yeah. I've also like, so in therapy, you know,
people, physical therapy, right?
Physical therapy. People come in with in pain and dysfunction and stuff like that. And, you know, one of the questions I said, well, what have you done for this? What have you tried? Have you sought any intervention? Have you done anything for it? And a lot of times it's no. Sometimes it's like, I got an injection. I got on some meds. Some people like, yeah, so I did some stretches and I tried these different things. And I kind of asked them to go a little bit further in that. And sometimes they're like, well, you know, it's like, I just do this, I do that. And it's very vague and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost in a sense that, like, I've already kind of tried the quote unquote physical therapy stuff and it didn't work. And then I give them the right things to do and it works. And kind of going back to those experiences, like you're talking about, Annabelle, like, oh, I might have tried this whole diet thing, or I might have tried working out and it didn't work. And maybe you just did it wrong. Or maybe there was something else along the way that made it fail. And now you have a limiting belief that that thing doesn't work because you had a past failure with it.
And I think that's so cute. And that's why we're mentioning this, to kind of challenge those thoughts. Oh, wait a minute. So maybe there was something else that wasn't happening. That wasn't going right. Mm-hmm. And not just strictly exercising as a whole. So three types of limiting belief that we got, that kind of Mark Manson, he's an author of, I think it's the Set Order of How to Not Give a Fuck. First time we've said this on this episode.
Hey, yo.
But he broke
it. Don't listen, Aunt Debbie.
Oh my gosh. But he broke it. I like the way that he broke it up. He says, there's the limited beliefs about yourself. So they make you feel like you, you can't do something because something is inherently wrong with you. So I was like, oof, that one was kind of like, you can't do that because you're dumb. You can't do that because no, I'm serious. Some people have some, they have some demons in their house that they gotta work through, or I'm too weak, or I'm just destined to fail, this and that, and that's why I can't work out, or I can't do this. There's the limiting beliefs about the world that makes you feel like you can't do something because no one will let you. I mean, the world is just cruel. It's out to get me. Life is out to get me. I can't change. I can't do it. Every time I try to start a diet, they freaking bring donuts and pizza to the office. I'm telling you, I can't do anything about it.
Krispy Kreme hates me. No, what you're saying is true.
The world is out to get me. And the other one is limiting beliefs about life that make you feel like you can't do something because it's too difficult. It's just like, just, there's too many challenges in this role, and it's just, I can't do anything. It's like, you can kind of boil down the different beliefs into...
Don't even try.
Yeah, why even try? It's going to be hard. Why make it harder on myself?
Let's give them some examples. I think if you're listening this far, with the title, we got some 10 common limiting beliefs. Here are some of those. 10 to be exact, that we want to go through. And we'll kind of dive deeper into, like, actually, how do you actually change some of these limiting beliefs?
Yeah, these are just to help you. Hopefully you've listened up to this point, is take a moment and really, like, ask yourself and listen to your, even your inner dog, like, as you're talking to yourself and as you're listening and your thoughts are coming up, it's like, has this been me? Is this currently me? Or was this me? So what's the first one, Cam?
Okay, so number one is basically like, I'm not good enough. And this can be a comparison thing where you feel inferior either to your peers or your coworkers. A lot of low self-esteem, a lot of self-doubt with this. You need to ask yourself, well, why do I believe that I'm not good enough? What really is going on under the hood here?
So that one's, excuse me, I feel like it's a very common one that most people feel like, I'm not special, I'm not good. Like, it's not in my cards for me to change. The other one that's kind of very similar is like, I don't deserve success. Like, again, a lot of this comes down to your self-worth, how you feel and view yourself. And yeah, you think, oh well, I don't really deserve this, or you don't believe that you're worthy of achieving or of happiness or of success. And you know, it could be due to that guilt or self blame for a lot of these different experiences, different ways you view life and the world.
Yeah, number three is maybe I'm too old or I'm too young. I'm too old to start a business. I'm too old to actually try and figure out this whole health and fitness thing. Or I'm too young to start and all that kind of stuff.
Like the two different spectrum of like too old, like it's past my time. I'm 50, 60, whatever I mean. I had my time to change my life around. Now it's too late for me. Or like you say, it's like you're doing, like, I'm just unprepared. Most of the young life is like you feel like you're unprepared, unready. Mm-hmm. Like I need to be older before I can start this health and fitness journey.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
It's number four.
It's just, I don't have enough resources. Resources meaning time, money, energy. It's like, I could do it. I'm too busy, or I don't have the money, or I don't have fill in the blank to actually achieve my health and fitness goal. If I just had more hours in the day, I would work out. If I had more money, I could, you know, buy this one thing that's going to help me freaking biohack life as a whole. Oh, if I had
freaking
one of those
biohack,
freaking biohack, those freaking cold plunges. If I just had $5,000 to buy those fancy cold plunges, I would just transform my life.
And don't forget the saunas, bro. Don't forget the saunas.
And we're not against that, guys. We've talked about it. And we'll say it again. Is you need to focus on the foundation, and then you can add this other stuff. The next one. I need more information. That for me was like a big one. I think we've talked about it before, dog. Is you feel the need to learn more, which is great. I'm nothing against learning.
And you need to have some.
Yeah, but when are you gonna
implement? Talking about is like, I need to understand it all, maybe even down to like the cellular processes before I even step on a treadmill.
Yeah.
So like you need to actually know some information on like what you need to do. But this, what we're talking about, I need more information is analysis by paralysis. Like I just need to learn more and more and more, and this is causing inaction, and you're limiting yourself.
And then also, I want to confess this, guys, but you kind of get a satisfaction from learning. You feel like you did something. Like, mm-hmm. I've changed. Partly, I'm not, again, we're not against, but you haven't acted on it.
Yeah, information is not transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Information leads to transformation, but it's not the same thing.
No, and I think we think that it is.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I'm afraid of failure or rejection. Listen, it doesn't matter what people say or saying.
Shouldn't worry about them.
But we do worry about it, though.
Yeah.
And it prevents you a lot of the times. Like, oh, no, but what are they going to say if I start this health and fitness journey? What if they say, oh, Cam, that's not you. You're not a fit individual. You've struggled with, why are you trying to change? Why are you trying to do this? I was like, oh, you're right. I don't want to be rejected by my tribe, by my people. That's a big deal. It's a big thing that a lot of people fear. Mm. Oh, what if I do fail? And then what are they going to say?
Yeah, they told me from the beginning that it wasn't going to work, so I'm not going to do it. And when I do fail, then they're going to just, I told you, Cam, you weren't going to do that whole health and fitness thing.
Yeah, so it's a lot of things that we, you know, that's all up here in your head that you face. What's the next one, Doc?
So number 7, very similar to I'm not good enough. This one's like, I'm not smart enough. And this one is, you know.
What's on your skills?
Skills. Yeah, I'm not talented enough. Like, you know. And these all can tie together. But it's like, well, I never developed those motor skills back in the day. So like, I'm not talented enough to go to the gym to perform some of these things. Like, it's just.
I'm not coordinated. I stumbled over my own feet. How am I going to squat?
I mean, have you seen some CrossFitters? They're not coordinated, so.
Ron, I can't. Ron, I can barely even walk.
Number 8.
The number 8 is, again, so remember how the other one was like the 3 different flavors or where your limited belief is. This one is kind of like the world's out to get you. It's like, success is only for the lucky people. And I'm not lucky. I'm the opposite of lucky. I am unlucky. Everything in life has gone against me. And it's like, oof, that one's like,
yeah, life is out to get you. Number 9.
Say, I can't change.
Can't change.
I've tried. I cannot change at all.
This one might be one of the biggest ones because if you truly believe you can't change, then you won't change. I mean, that's pretty simplistic to put it that way, but like if you really think that you can't lose weight, you won't lose weight. It doesn't matter if you start trying to diet, you start working out. If that is the first roadblock, is that you don't believe you can change, and then you go try to change and you haven't overcome that mindset yet, you're not going to overcome those things. It's going to put you right back to the starting point.
It's like most people are right. The person who says they can and the person who says they can't.
And
that's kind of hard. It's kind of like, well, we've talked about that. Like, you can't really help somebody who doesn't want to get help.
Oh, yeah. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Hey, was that with our interview with Paul Horn where he was talking about that guy who's like, hey, I need my dad to start working out. So here's his cell phone number. I need you to call him and get him to work out. Was that on our episode or was that maybe just something from his channel? Maybe we were talking about him afterwards with that. Anyway, one of our guests, he was talking about.
It was definitely with him, but I don't know if it was recorded or but. Behind the scenes.
I can't remember or not. I'd have to go back and listen to the episode. Maybe you should go back and listen to it. Give us more views. Yeah.
Let us know, guys. You let us know.
Yeah, you let us know. But basically, his dad did not want to change. And this guy was like, look how my life has changed. Paul, if you'll just call my dad and get him to work out, you'll then he'll see. Him. And then I think Paul was like, one thing I've learned in this life is you're not going to make a 70-year-old man change his mind if he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't want to change. So it doesn't matter who calls and talks to him. If it's a guru or some great strength coach, it's not going to happen.
It has to come from you.
From within.
From within. Mm.
It's number 10.
And like I said, these kind of overlap. But because here's the thing. We all have our reasonings and we might word it a different way and whatnot. Some might make it age-based. Some might make it skill-based. Some might make it like self-worth-based. The way you view the world. But this last one is most of us to an extent feel like, oh, it's too late to start something new. Whether they're really old, whether they're young, some like whether it's sports when you're younger, it's like, ah, you're in high school, you're starting a sport, or hey, you're 30 and now you're going to college, or you always feel like it's too late. Like I'm 40, I'm trying to get my health and fitness. Nah, but it's never too late. Whether the circumstance, whether the age, whether you feel like you don't have the skill, it's never too late to start something new.
Agreed.
So we want to cover like two different some things about limiting beliefs that's maybe a little bit different than from what you may have read or seen. And the thing is, most of the time, generally speaking, I know for myself, these limiting beliefs in a way are you're using them to in a way to protect yourself from what may happen. You know, well, if I never start working out, nobody's going to criticize me if it doesn't work. That's a good example. You know, you don't have to worry about the rejection. You don't have to worry about this or that. Or like, if I don't start, then I know Joe isn't going to bring pizza to the office and donuts. Because again, you have that view of like the world's out to get you. And you feel like you're going to prevent a lot of pain, a lot of these challenges and setbacks. Here's the thing. In life, regardless of whether you start or don't start, whether you keep your belief or don't keep your belief, you're still going to face challenges. You're going to have setbacks and there will be pain. Regardless of which way you view the world, which action you take or don't take. And I just wanted to say that even for myself, because I've had certain beliefs, limiting beliefs that I realized now I was trying to prevent some of these things, challenges, setbacks, and pain. And again, you can't prevent. All you can do is prepare yourself as best as possible and be ready to face whatever life may bring.
And some of those things.
Preachy. Amen.
Preach. Well, some of those things also bring about strong emotions too. And I know before the podcast, we were talking about how like emotion plays into some of these like challenges, setbacks, failures, pain points, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes. So I actually looked up definition. So this definition, I got from Mark for emotions.
What was the name of that book?
we'll pin it in the title. Okay. So emotions are your brain's way of telling you something good or bad is happening in your life. First of all, emotions don't tell you the full picture. I hate to break it to you. I'm telling you from personal experience. I myself thought this emotion, this feeling is telling me the full perspective. I'm not saying don't disregard, don't listen to your emotion.
You must be stoic in all things.
I am fully stoic in all things. I don't feel.
You giggle though.
I only laugh. That's the only emotion I have is laughter. That's the only acceptable straight emotion. Business. That's why I don't need too much that I have. But emotions don't tell you the full picture of everything you're seeing. Even your own perspective at times isn't capturing the full. Like you talk to two people. Okay, let's say there's five people. And they all witness something that happened. Everyone, again, from your upbringing, your education, your experiences, is going to view that from one perspective, through one lens, and say, this is what I got out of it. What did you get out of it? It's like, I did not see that. What do you mean you saw that? Again, this is what I'm saying. Not that your perspective is wrong, but sometimes it's only capturing a aspect. Even when Kim and I talk about it, I say like, oh, I saw that. I'm viewing this way. And he said that, well, I saw it this way. Again, your emotions are the same way. They're not capturing everything that's happening.
Usually always right. And Annabelle's sometimes right, but
he knows I'm 99% of the time right 100% of the time.
Did you just wink?
I did. So that's to say is emotions. The reason we bring up emotion is we often, very often, base our limiting beliefs on emotions. Mm-hmm. Take what you will with that.
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying about like the five people witnessing the thing, there's also a thing called confirmation bias. And It's almost like you almost got hit by a car. And then as you're driving home, you see someone else almost get hit by a car. And it just confirms in your mind that people in the city don't know how to drive. And it's like, it just so happened that this happened. And it's just confirming a conviction or a belief that you already had.
Yeah.
That can also be in the literature too. There is such things as when you're making research articles and all that kind of stuff, you're trying to eliminate bias. But one of those things can be confirmation bias. I literally just saw, a person with this injury, and the next person comes in. I'm like, it's the same thing. It looks the same. Like, it's the same thing. Because I have this confirmation bias in my head that
it happens to everyone.
Yeah. Everyone's got this thing right now because I saw two people that have this thing. In the same way in the literature, there can be confirmation bias in terms of how the outcomes and the study is set up and all that kind of stuff.
It sounds kind of like when the red car is like, oh my gosh, everybody drives a red car. Mm-hmm. When you start seeing it.
Yep.
It's like you're specifically looking for that. It's like the punch buggy game. You ever play the punch bug?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, there's punch bugs everywhere.
We also did beetles too. Did you ever hit for beetles or just buggies?
I can't remember. Maybe we did. But it's like you're focusing on that. Your mind can't see anything else except you're looking for it. And same thing with our limited belief is you're viewing everything through that lens.
Yeah. And then when you see someone else going through the same thing, it just confirms that already convicted belief or that limiting belief that you have, that conviction.
And I do want to point out these four examples that from this article is bliss confirmation bias is you're not seeking out objective facts. All right, so you're not being objective about the things you're viewing. Cam alluded to this. It's like interpreting information to support your existing beliefs. Oh, well, that's true. And then this is another one. You only remember the details that uphold your belief.
Mm-hmm.
You disregard that 20-page article that said everything against what you believe. And you only remember that. Again, that's the fourth point is that you ignore the information that challenges your belief. So this article talked about how you can lose weight. It doesn't matter if your four or five generations of your family couldn't do it. And you can still change. But you read the one part, it's like, well, maybe, blah, 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 blah. You're like, you only remember what you want to see and you ignore everything else.
Yep. You're going to see what you want to see. This next part is pretty heavy.
But heavy in a good way because you're going to get strong.
Yeah. Heavy weight, baby.
Progressive overload.
That's right.
Over the mine.
But they interviewed this hospice nurse.
She interviewed people.
Yes. But then she told about her experiences.
You're right. He's mostly right most of the time.
Yeah, mostly. We were 50-50 right on that. She interviewed a bunch of patients on their deathbed. A hospice nurse cares for people as they're dying, essentially. Like there's no other medication. They're just trying to ease the dying process. And so she interviewed people. And then she, I guess, whether this was this a book or was did someone interview her about her?
No, she made it a book.
Okay. So it's a book.
Yeah. The book is called, I think it's called like the top. Five regrets of the dying, a life transformed by the dearly departed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And some of these might hit home. And as we were going over this episode, I was like, that one hits heavy, but not like the heavy weights. So the one thing that was a common theme of these patients that were dying was, they said, I'm just going to read it. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. people not being able to pursue their dreams, their aspirations, but they lived according to what other people thought they should do. And sometimes, as we talked earlier, specifically when it comes to health and fitness, is there might be this expectation of, I'm fat, you're fat, we all need to be fat and unhealthy together. Just that's the way it is. And if you try to go against that, you know, you're going to fail. And so a lot of people had the regret of actually not trying.
We wanted to share these to, in a way, just give you the insight.
Hopefully encouragement.
Encouragement. Yeah. Like, hey, like live your life and you can be healthy and fit if that's what you want. Again, it has to come from you. We can't force you. You can listen to all this all you want, but I can't convince you.
Wonderful podcast episodes.
It's amazing. Go back and listen to episode one to the current. But didn't you work in hospice before or help out with that before and talk?
No, my mother-in-law's a hospice nurse.
Oh, that's what it was. I knew there were some family ties there. And it's rough. You're literally on your deathbed and it's at the end of your life. And most of us live with regret. The other one the common theme that came up was, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. You know, individuals often regret spending too much time and energy on their careers at the expense of other important aspects of their lives. So I kind of interpret that as like you're not prioritizing what really matters to you. Mm-hmm. Is you're giving your energy, your time, everything to something that I think you don't care about, but deep down in your soul is not what's really bringing you joy.
The three F's, baby: faith, family, fitness. Boom.
And then
I just came with that on the spot. That's probably somewhere. Someone already probably coined that.
And then food.
And then food. After you've got
food. I'm kidding. But yeah, these are heavy hitting. They kind of hit me when you read them. Well, what's the next one, Duck?
Number three is, I wish
I had Duck instead of Duck.
Oh, no. Quack. Number three is, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. And again, that could just be family dynamics, friend dynamics, all that kind of stuff.
Like, hey, I really want to get healthy.
Yeah. Like, I wish I just would have told somebody or tried to do it.
Mm-hmm.
What's number four?
I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. I think it's a problem that we learn. It was already a problem, but I think we really witnessed it during the pandemic. Isolation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tendency to isolate. And
well, you spent so much time building friendships, whether that's from like high school, college, your community that you live with,
church,
and then you move away and all that kind of stuff. And then like all those years you brought to like work and nurture those relationships are gone, and you don't try and keep in touch and try and nurture them and go visit. You know, that weighs heavy at the end of your life. And you're like, I wish I would have done that because I'd spent so much time and had and good times with them.
Yeah, we need community. And we need to be around other people. We need to spend time with other individuals. And I don't know, we isolate. We lose touch. And we say, oh, we're too busy. But at the end, we're just not prioritizing what really matters to you. And maybe you're in that season of life. Like, well, I'm too busy. I got this going on. Reach out to that person. Because at the end, again, health and fitness, it's not everything in life. It's something that you do. It is important. But there's a lot of aspects of health as a whole. You know, there's mind, body, spirit, but it's also your community. What's the next one?
Last one is that I wish I'd let myself be happier. I've heard this one a lot from just patients in therapy. It's like, oh, you'll hear, I just try not to take life too seriously. I've heard like, you know, I try to laugh every day. You know, I try to have a good time. And you know, I mean, you meet people who are all business and maybe that's great for them, but apparently a lot of people had regrets about not taking the time to enjoy life.
Being too serious. I don't smile.
Everyone knows. Anyone who's listened to any episode knows that's not true. You laugh almost every episode.
Laughter is the best medicine, they say.
All right. So how are we going to overcome these limiting beliefs?
You don't. You're stuck.
All
and
right.
That might be your belief, guys. And you need to break
through. Tricked me.
Yoda. All right.
Did you just do the force wave?
I did.
If you're listening on some sort of platform, you need to go to YouTube and watch watch Animal wink in the camera and then do this Yoda wave.
All right, so you need to identify. So you've listened to some of them. You have to identify. That might be you identifying, or maybe asking someone, a trusted person. It has to be a trusted person. It can't be some random person. And so you need to identify, and really, really, what it is, that constant story, that constant voice that you hear in your head, the one that you're afraid to tell a soul. You know what that is.
Don't tell us, but tell a trusted friend.
Yeah, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
And so, then,
yeah, identify what those beliefs are, and then fact check. Fact check some of your current beliefs. Don't just play the scenario all the way through. Don't just, I Googled one thing or asked one person. Like, go outside your scope to be able to, or outside your friend group or acquaintances to kind of figure this stuff out.
Because you don't want, you don't want to just see what you want to see. So you really want to check.
You know, a good resource for this is go listen to the David Goggins story, whether that's on his, he's got a bunch of podcast interviews, but he'll be the one to tell you it's not your situation. It's not your upbringing. He's got a crazy story. But he'll fact check you because he fact checks himself. And a lot of the times these things that you might be believing aren't true, especially when it comes to weight and health and stuff like that.
Oh, here's one. I'll be honest with you. So you can kind of get a perspective of what this looks like. Now I can fact check my mind a little bit more, but at first you can't. And maybe you need to go externally. We always talk about you. Sometimes you have to go externally and before you can go internally. And that's okay. So for instance, for a long time, and even every now and then, it creeps up to me like, oh, I just need more time. I need more time to be able to balance my 9 to 5, balance this podcast, and balance working out, and then and then you go and you play this scenario and this and that. But now I can fact check it, and then I say to myself, like, no, you don't need more time. What you need is focus and prioritization. So you're reframing, you're fact checking. You're like, oh, you might say, well, I am not skilled enough. It's like, no, I just haven't studied this yet. And that's how that will look like for you.
What's the next way to overcome these beliefs?
So we're challenging it, right? You're fact checking, and then ask yourself, like, is this really helping me? Does believing this actually help me? Is it gonna make a difference? If it's me believing I just need more time, is that gonna make a difference? And
if not. You need to adopt some new beliefs.
You need to adopt some new beliefs. And that's what we're trying to get to here.
And that's what Amble said at the beginning, that this is almost a shift in your identity. And we're not saying a major shift, but they could be small, subtle. It might be major, or it might be small and subtle, where these new sets of beliefs, this is going to take time. It's not going to all happen at once. You got to start to stack. And over time, these things can start to change, and you can actually start to change your behavior and overcome some of these limiting beliefs to help you on your journey.
Yeah, there's never going to be the right time. There's always going to be more to learn in life. We cannot prevent any challenges, sadly. And we just got to seek action over inaction.
Yeah. So what we want you to do is start with trying to identify what some of these limiting beliefs are in your own life. Maybe re-listen to the episode to kind of work your way through it. And then the big thing is, what are you going to do to break them? What kind of habits, what kind of mindset are you going to adopt to change?
Yeah, fact checking them.
Yeah, that's all I got, Annabel. What do you got?
All right, remember, you are human. You should not seek perfection, but daily improvement.
All right.
See you guys.
See you guys.